I must confess, I've been waiting all week. I'm eager to preach this message to you. And I thank you all, especially for the wonderful slides that he's put up, both for the children's message and for the sermon as well. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The title of our message this morning is, will you read it with me? Out of the holding patterns, based on Deuteronomy 32. Listen to these precious verses. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings, catching them, bearing them on its pinions, the Lord alone guided his people. He made them to ride on the high places of the land. I invite you to turn in your worship folder to the back of it and find there your outline as we consider our theme, Out of the Holding Patterns. Well, technically speaking, a holding pattern is a term used to describe when you are stuck in an airplane, flying around and around and around the airport below because for some reason the runway can't be cleared for you to land. Now, I wonder, have any of you here in your life ever been stuck in a holding pattern? Just a few. Well, some years ago, I was a student at the seminary in St. Louis. And I had driven to Chicago to see some friends and then was flying from Chicago to my parents' home in Spokane to spend the Christmas holidays. I was single, carefree, and wanted to see my parents for the Christmas season. Visit was great, turned around and flew back to Chicago. It was a four-hour flight. I was eager to land, get back in my car, and drive the hours back to St. Louis. But when we got to the Chicago airport, the pilot's voice came over the intercom. Ladies and gentlemen, I must regret to inform you that the runway has not been cleared for landing. We've had a severe winter storm in the Chicago area. We will have to circle in a holding pattern until it's safe to land. And so we circled, and we circled, and we circled the Chicago airport for 2 hours. What do you do when you're in a holding pattern? You can only make so much small talk with the people next to you. The attendants didn't have enough magazines to get to everybody in the airplane. Airport peanuts and pop only do so much settling your stomach going around and around for 2 hours. But finally, the pilot announced, well, folks, we've been rerouted to Minneapolis where we will land there until Chicago clears. I looked around at all the other passengers and one woman said this insightful sentence. She said, this is just like my life. Holding patterns that keep me from going where I want to go. Well, we finally made it back to Chicago that night. And as I finally got into bed, getting ready to drive the long drive to St. Louis the next day, I was relieved that my day of holding patterns was finally over. But the question of our text today is this. How do we get out of life's holding patterns? I'm not talking about airplanes, but I'm talking about a condition of life that we all face at times. Life brings us holding patterns when there seems there's nothing we can do except for wait. We seem to be blocked from making progress, blocked from going where we want to go and being who we need to be. How do we get out of life's holding patterns? That's a question Moses must have asked as he looked back to 40 years of wandering in the wilderness with the children of Israel after they left slavery in Egypt. 40 years. Now that's a long holding pattern. The children of Israel must have been asking Moses questions like this. Where are we going? And are we there yet? Are we there yet? Can we really leave this wilderness to a new life and a so-called promised land we haven't even seen? Oh, Moses, maybe it would be better if we just returned to Egypt. Yeah, we were slaves there, but at least we had a routine we could count on. We're not too sure of this promised land business. We might have to change the way we're living. We might have to change the level in our faith of God in this new promised land. Oh, come to think of it, Moses, we're all pretty comfortable here in this 40-year holding pattern in the wilderness. For some of you, life might seem like a never-ending holding pattern. Illnesses, difficulties, strange relationships, responsibilities that seem to never change but have you in its grasp as a holding pattern. Holding patterns also impede our Christian life. We may ask ourselves, why do I keep struggling with the same sins? Why do I keep struggling with the same old doubts? Why does it take so long to become mature in Christ? Now, we can't blame God for our holding patterns, but we dare not suggest that He can't use them for our own good. He alone, finally, can get us out of the holding patterns. In our text from Deuteronomy 32, we read these words. The Lord alone guided His people. The Lord alone made them to ride high on the high places of the land. You see, the Lord loves us where we are. Please hear me say that. The Lord loves you where you are, but He never wants to leave you there. That was the message of Moses to the people of Israel at the end of his life. His last address in the wilderness holding pattern gives us the answer to life's holding patterns. Listen again to our text from Deuteronomy 32. Really listen to these words. Like an eagle that stirs up its nest, that flutters over its young, spreading out its wings and catching them, bearing them up on its pinions. So the Lord alone guided His people. He made them to ride high on the high places of the land. Looking back in 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Moses was inspired by God to use the story of how a mother eagle trains her babies to fly as an illustration of how God deals with His own people. Comparing God to a mother eagle, Moses tells us three critical things about God. Would you look at your sermon outlines? Moses tells us three things about God. The same thing with a mother eagle. God is a disturber, He is a developer, and finally, what does the third one say? He is a deliverer. First, God's a disturber. The destiny of the baby eagle is to fly, but he doesn't want to leave the comfort and warmth of the nest. And so the mama does all she can to make that nest uncomfortable, to get him out of there. She puts the pointy sticks and the straws pointing upward. Verse 11 says, like an eagle that stirs up the nest. The Hebrew word for stir up means to agitate, to disturb, to make ready for a change. So mama eagle makes the nest uncomfortable, so the comfort of the babies is disturbed, and they'll be encouraged to get out and fly. My friends, the Lord's disturbance of our nests of contentment, of our personal holding patterns, is much the same. He may remove in our lives the comforts as usual. He may create in our hearts a dissatisfaction with our present existence and a desire for something more. Difficulties or tension points in our lives may be used by God to move us out of our homemade nests that seem okay, but which in fact keep us from being the people God has made us to be. This morning, might you somehow be feeling uncomfortable in your relationship with God? If so, good! Because perhaps He's at work pushing you out of your holding pattern, nudging you out of that nest that's getting you nowhere. Remember, the eagle only stirs up the nest when it's time to fly. The Lord is a disturber, yes, but what is the next thing He is? What does it say? The Lord is a developer. Verse 11 says, the eagle flutters over its young. The Hebrew word for flutter is a beautiful word. It's a word that describes how a hummingbird flutters. Have you ever seen that? In our modern day, maybe we could think of it in terms of a helicopter fluttering. This is an active verb. The mother eagle hovers over the nest. She hovers over the nest. She pushes the babies to the very edge of the nest. She's hovering as if to demonstrate, hey kids, that's how these things work. And if that doesn't work, her hovering becomes even more active as she literally pushes the baby out of the nest and follows it downward as it must develop quickly the use of its wings. Our Lord does much the same thing for us. If our uncomfortable nest or pointy stick holding pattern does not rouse us, He may very well push us to the edge of our nest that we may be compelled to take a leap of faith and really trust Him. What is that for you this morning? Each of us are likely wavering on the edge of a homemade nest we know we got to get out of. Now, let me ask you a very important question this morning. Now's the time not to be thinking about your neighbor or wondering about anything else. Here's a question. If you were sure that you could succeed, what would you try? Listen to that question again. If you were sure that you could succeed, what would you try? What is it that you know the Lord wants you to do, but you've been putting it off? Our Lord wants to help you develop your wings. He is hovering over you like a mama eagle. He encourages each of us today, lose your grasp on the edge of that nest. Let go and just watch where your Lord will lead you as you develop the use of the wings of faith. Well, in this eagle text, God has been shown to be a disturber, a developer, and the best has been left for last. What's the last D? He's a deliverer. Listen to verse 11. It says about the eagle, and the eagle spreads out its wings, catching them, bearing them up on its pinions, an old word for wings. We could not dare to take a leap of faith from the nest and our holding pattern if we could not be sure of this. Our Lord will catch us. He will deliver us. The baby eagle has left the nest. It's falling through thin air as it tries to fly. And the mother eagle, says those who study such things, at just the right moment swoops down and catches her baby on her own wings. The process is repeated until the baby is capable of flying. What a wonderful picture of how God treats you and treats me. We try and we fall. We try and we mess up. But there is always our Lord to deliver us. And it's interesting that the Hebrew word used in the text for the eagle bearing up its children is the same word used for God bearing our sin. When we fall into sin, would God let us fall to our destruction? No way. Would the eagle let her baby fall to its destruction? In no way. Our Lord today says to anyone here who is falling in sin, are you listening? The Lord here today says to anyone who's fallen in sin, I, the Lord your God, I am your deliverer. Cry to me in your distress, and I will save you. Moses said much the same thing to the people of Israel in Deuteronomy 26. Listen to these precious words. Can you see why I was so eager all week to share this message with you? Listen to what God says. Deuteronomy 36. There is none like the Lord our God, who rides through the heavens to your deliverance. The eternal God is your dwelling place, and underneath you are his everlasting arms. Is this not the very nature of God? We see his everlasting arms of deliverance for his people on every single page of Holy Scripture. After our first parents, Adam and Eve, sinned and were hiding in shame because of their sin, what did our God do? His everlasting arms of deliverance reached out to them. He went to them and promised he would bring the Savior, the solution for sin's power and destruction. And what does Galatians 4:4 say? A Christmas verse? Listen carefully. When the time was just right, when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his Son. That time was the birth of Jesus at Bethlehem. And when you look into that Bethlehem manger, what are you looking at? What do you see? You see tiny little arms reaching up to his mother Mary. But make no mistakes, folks. Those are the Lord's everlasting arms. For those arms will soon hold the sinner, feed the hungry, heal the sick, raise the dead. Those everlasting arms will soon be carrying an old wooden cross. Those arms will be nailed to the cross for your sin and for mine. Those arms, those everlasting arms, reach out to you today. Thank God, reach out to me today as we are in any of our various holding patterns. My friends, what could your life be like out of the holding pattern? It's God's desire that you don't just survive, that you don't just get by, that you don't just count your days existing. Baby eagle, you were made to fly. Jesus himself says in John 10, verse 10, I have come that you might have life and have it abundantly. Now, he says the same thing to us as Trinity Lutheran Church. As important as Sunday morning worship is, we are made for so much more than simply gathering here for 75 minutes one day a week. There's a bigger reason God has made us a Christian community in this neighborhood. He wants to push us out of our comfortable nest. He wants to nudge us out of our homemade holding patterns. He wants us to be His people that serves our community, that reaches out to our community, to love the people in our community outside these four walls. It's for this reason that our congregation is now going through a process called Transforming for Mission. Our own dear Harold Boucher has taken the point. He's leading this process. He'll speak to us at the end of today's service with some more details. This Transforming for Mission process will help us to get a clear picture of who we really are, who we need to be, what our community's needs are, and how we can respond to these needs in the name of Christ. I've been asked by a number of people, why should we go through this process? Well, that we might try out our wings of faith, that we might leave our comfortable nest of this present holding pattern, and trust God to take us to the future that He's already got planned for us. What God told Moses, and Moses told the people of Israel, God is telling us today. Listen again, please. Like an eagle that stirs up its young, spreading out its wings and catching them, bearing them in its pinions, the Lord alone guided His people. He made them to ride high on the high places of the land. So, Lord, we trust You as individuals and as a congregation. And we look forward to You getting us out of our holding patterns and into the future that You desire for us, in the name of Jesus. Amen.